Grace and peace to you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. When I was growing up in South Dakota, we'd sometimes take a little trip from Aberdeen down to the big city of Sioux Falls. Big city, right? They had a mall. Aberdeen didn't yet have a mall. We'd spend the whole day there, right, Dad? That was a big day. And we didn't have any smartphones in the car, of course, no tablets to play on. Might have had a cassette tape or two to listen to on the way down. 3.5 hours to get down to Sioux Falls. And in the mall, what do you suppose Pastor wanted to go to and spend most of the day at? Brookstone. Brookstone stores, right? They had all the cool gadgets that you could not really afford and were pretty much useless, but they were cool to look at and think about and consider. Good stuff. And ultimately, you'd always want to end up where inside of Brookstone? In the massage chair, right? And of course, you kind of felt guilty sitting on it for too long, and the employees start to look at you, and you did this brief little visit in the massage chair, really, ultimately, is all it was. But that was the highlight of the visit. To see the massage chair. It seemed like a kingly chair. A great place to sit and enjoy and relax. This is a seat fit for a king, you think. Well, just think about what we heard in the text tonight. Something far better than any massage chair, right? A throne. The throne of God in heaven. The throne. And the one who sits on the throne. Glorious sight. A bright sight. Brighter than what the eye could behold. I think of Moses on the burning bush when he saw God there in the burning bush. He could hardly look at the burning bush. It was bright. Or when somebody brings one of those mega power flashlights by, you just have to turn away. It's just so bright. It gets in your eyes. Moses, too, when he got to see the backside of God, you remember? Not the front side, just the backside of God. God had to put him inside the cleft of a rock. He could only behold the backside, and ever since then, Moses' face shone like the sun, and people couldn't even look at Moses' face anymore. That's bright. And he who sits upon that throne is called the light of the world, brighter than the sun, God the Son. The Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, as we'll hear next week. The more you get used to the light, the more your eyes adjust to it. The picture becomes clearer. Formerly, we saw in a mirror dimly, St. Paul told us, and now we see face to face. Now we see it. Before, we were just journeying. But now, in the vision at least, we've arrived. The picture we see is of the throne of God in St. John's vision. And it does more than just show us some fancy chair with a recliner and a massage feature. It brings the past and the present together. Not the future. This is the future. This is tomorrow turned into today. This is the time to behold the time maker. He who stretched out the world when there was none is seated on that throne and then stretched out his tent on earth or tabernacled in the man of Christ Jesus. The past is represented there at the throne. That's the marvelous thing. Did you hear it? The appearance of the jasper and the carnelian and the rainbow of emerald, those are jewels that we should be familiar with. Of course, the rainbow, we might think of Noah and God's promise never to flood the earth again, or maybe his great power at that time to destroy all wickedness. And in heaven, we see pictures of that. The jasper and carnelian and emerald, three stones that God commissioned or commanded to be set in the breastplate of the high priest. These were his treasured people on the high priest's chest as they come into the temple of God's presence. God was reminded, these are my precious people, more precious than stones. precious stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, God's treasured possession. And now they appear as part of the throne of God, as if he was teaching us all along what we were going to see one day as we behold him who sits on the throne. Later on in the book of Revelation, as we heard this past Sunday, the New Jerusalem coming out down out of heaven has all the stones, all 12 stones of that ephod or the breastplate of the high priest, now decorate the foundation of the walls of the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. They're all there. Around the throne tonight are 24 thrones with elders sitting on those thrones, clothed in white, golden crowns on their heads. 24, which later on in the book of Revelation we see too, there's 12 for 12 tribes of Israel, and then the 12 apostles are mentioned together. So here we can about assume too what this 24 elders was all about. The 12 men of representing the Old Testament people, the 12 apostles representing the time of the New Testament. This is the fullness of time. Old and new together with Jesus at the center. And from that throne, it's not something that you just go, "Whoa, that's nice." But there's peals of thunder, rumblings, lightning. That's something that you respect. You don't play around with lightning. This is something you behold with great wonder about the power that's there. Fear, as Martin Luther taught us to do. Fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And around the throne, burning torches of fire, representing the seven spirits of God, the number of completeness. Seven in creation, the seven trumpets in Numbers, the seven times Naaman had to dip in the water to be clean. And four living creatures we heard about. The lion, the ox, the face of a man, the eagle in flight. And they had six wings full of eyes, which is nothing new. This is a picture that we saw in Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Four creatures around the throne of God with eyes all around and within. What John sees is nothing new and strange and out of the ordinary. It should be very familiar to the Old Testament people. Those who have God's word ought to say, "Aha, I know what he sees. God has revealed it long ago, and he's revealed it again. It is the future come now in the present." And Isaiah, when he sees God on the throne in his vision, Isaiah chapter 6, we hear the same words. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And the 24 fall down before him who is seated on the throne, casting their crowns before him. What does this mean? As you approach Christmas next week, just think about what's in that manger. As they say, good things come in small packages. No one fears a manger. There's no lightning coming out of the animals in Jesus' stall. There's no expensive stones there. There are three expensive things, gold, frankincense, and myrrh a little later on. But they're packed into that stall, that cradle, is the past and the present together. And the future for all the world to see. The Ancient of Days, the Creator of all things, who gives himself to be a man that people can behold in a mother's arms and see the care and to see his compassion as he grows, to see what he does when he heals and when he restores sight and when he raises from the dead those who are asleep. That's what we behold in the manger. Just don't forget where he's going. Not to Brookstone. He's not going to get a massage chair. He's getting the best seat there ever is. The throne of God in heaven. As you prepare for the second advent of Jesus, that throne that we'll see in heaven, remember what makes it all possible for you. The throne that is the manger. In Jesus' name, amen.